Would you turn to Romans chapter 8, please? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I had an experience that happened to me, but before I share it, I want to bring us some scriptures. And there was a real deep impartation in Romans 8:28. Would you read it with me? And I want you to really look at this now. We're going to go beyond words. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom he foreknew. Very key word. For whom He foreknew. He also predestined. So, He knew you before you were. So everybody got it. For whom He foreknew. He knew you before you were. And He also predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But we are to be glorified, and in the arena of being glorified is meaning bringing glory to Him. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now I want you to understand something. In this arena of words, there's another deep river that flows here. And He says, I foreknew you. In other words, I knew you before you were. So it means that you were with Him before you came here. You don't remember. None of us do. And He said, I predestined you to be conformed in the image of My Son, and that I paid the price through My Son that you may have all things. And in this having all things is meaning that something was stripped from you. So in other words, things are being restored to you. In verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Are you God's elect? Why? Because He knew you before you were. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced, I am sold out, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He foreknew us. Everyone say, before I was, he knew me. Before I was, he knew me. Ecclesiastes 12. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse 6, would you read it with me? 6 and 7. It says what? Remember your creator before the silver cord is what? Loosed. Do you know that a child has an umbilical cord when it's born? The silver cord is what we call connected to your creator. It's the umbilical cord to the spirit realm. Or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust shall return to the earth as it was. And the spirit will return to who? God, who what? Gave it. That means you were with him before you came here. But you don't remember. Nobody does. Dust to the earth and spirit back to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, please. In verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the word Christ represents the anointing. Christ is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. In other words, it's God in all of eternity. Christ, the Christ, is what came into the natural realm, who's the eternal presence, power, and truth. He is God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ, in the eternal realm which you came from. Just as he chose us in him before the what? Foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having what? Predestined us to what? Adoption. Now, there's something important about this. I want you to hold on to that. I want you to highlight the word adoption, because we're going to come back to this once we're done reading this. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to who? Himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we see here we were with him before the creation. We had to be, he already predestined me and you to be adopted, knowing that we would be stripped from our eternal arena. Is everybody okay? We were with him before creation, knowing that we would be stripped from eternity and in remembrance. We would need to be adopted again back into the eternal. And the only way that that could happen is through Christ, so that we could be restored and reconciled. Restored in this realm and reconciled back home. Restored in this realm and reconciled back home. We had to be purchased by himself and become familiar with the ways of eternity, which was stripped from us by the teachings of Christ. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, the eternal presence and power and truth, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained a what? An inheritance that was stripped from us. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in the eternal presence and power, should be to the praise of his glory. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, we are made of a spirit, soul, and body. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created as one. There was no division between their spirit, soul, and body. They were one. Are you listening? God sent from him spirit into the natural realm. Placed him in a place where he could fellowship with them. But he knew, because he gave him free will to choose. There would be never a free will if there wasn't two things there. Good and evil. So we would have to have a free will to choose good and evil or righteousness. Because we weren't created to be robots. But we are sent in from the eternal realm which we came from him, because we were in him, living with him. Not remembering anything, but brought forth into this realm, because we are spirit. But we came into this realm, you and I, through the fall of Adam and Eve. There was something that happened in the garden when they fell. It was not only that they would lose life and die, but they would be stripped from all eternity. And the moment that you and I were conceived into this realm, we are immediately stripped from all things of eternity. Because we were born of the flesh and stripped from all the eternal. That's why we had to be restored in this realm and reconciled to the other. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 5. Is everybody there? In verse 16. Oh, that you might know who you really are. That you might really know who you are. In verse 16, read it with me. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Why? Because he came to fulfill what he was supposed to do. We're no longer looking at Christ according to the flesh, because we're not a part of that anymore. We have been reconciled to home. And restored to the original state of being. Yet we're still waiting for one other thing. Our body. Has everybody got it? We're waiting for the eternal body to come. So we can cruise. Let's go to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, now again, I want you to understand this. If anybody's in Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth, which is established by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of man is man. But that which is born of the Spirit is eternal. So when you and I are baptized in the Spirit, we have been reestablished in the arena of home. Does everybody get this? Why? Because you were there before. You just don't know. And when you leave this place, you won't remember it either. When a man dies, there's no more remembrance. Hello? We will look things totally different when we're taken from this place, even though, because our home will be the eternal Jerusalem, which is in a whole nother place far away from here. It's called eternity. But we will, during the millennium time, come back and forth. But we will not see the way we see now. We will not feel the way we feel now. We will not sense the way we sense now. Because everything that we sense and feel and see will be related to eternity, not according to temporary. See, but once, the moment that you were conceived, everything associated with eternity was stripped from us. Everything. Inheritance, everything. And we had to go through whatever we had to go through until we were born of the Spirit. Restored to our state of being, original state of being, and reconciled to our eternal home. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Glory to God. He's a new creation in this realm. Why? Because we were stripped from everything. We had to be adopted again. We had to be created in this realm to be restored to our original state of being by the Spirit. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. A new creation. A new creation. I mean, we can't even comprehend that. We keep looking in the mirror at our ugly pusses, trying to figure out what's good for me here, not being able to see through the mirror. Because we get so caught up in the... See, what the enemy wants to do is strip from you what you've been restored to. And he works on it because he knows. Because he knows you were before. But he doesn't want you to know that you were before. He knows that you were predestined. He knows where you've come from. And he knows when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and born again of the Spirit, birthed by the Spirit, he knows that your original state of being has been restored back to you, and he fears you. But if he can convince you this way from knowing who you are, because he is afraid of you, he can keep you stripped from your eternal place. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's according to the world. Why? Because we've been restored to our original state of being. All things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself in the eternal presence through Jesus Christ, who has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So reconciliation is just not being, oh, get reconciled to God. No, get reconciled to where you came from. Now look at verse 19. Here's the kicker. That is that God, everyone say God, was in Christ. God was in Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth, who always was and who always will be, was in Christ. Wow. So he came for me and you. Who was in Christ, what was he doing? Reconciling the world to himself. not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. So you and I now could, in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for the Christ. We are ambassadors of home, the eternal presence, power, and truth of eternity. We are ambassadors. We represent reconciliation because we represent where we came from, even though we didn't remember. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, be reconciled to your eternal home. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we are no longer looking naturally, but eternally. That the eternal presence and power and truth, which we came from, and it was stripped as soon as we were conceived in this realm, is now being restored and reconciled by the manufactured blood of Christ to wipe away the separation of sin in this polluted realm and be restored to the original state of being and reconciled to our Father and eternal home. Now we plead with Christ for others by his Spirit to be reconciled, and that reconciliation would be established to the lost children of God. And that's what we plead with now. We cooperate with his pleading. I was doing a service in the jail, and whilst it was very difficult, it was very demonic, heavy, very heavy, couldn't break through. And people were just everywhere. So Holy Spirit said, begin to speak. And as I began to speak and speak and begin to share about the stripping that happened to us when we were born of the flesh, and as I began to share about the stripping of our eternal presence, of our eternal inheritance, of our eternal life, when we were born of the, when we were conceived by the flesh, the moment we were conceived in the flesh, everything was stripped from us. And for split seconds, as I began to speak about these things, I found myself in different places in the room, looking at this person that was pleading to the lost children. One moment I saw myself, I was actually standing in another part of a corner watching this person named Guy, whom the Spirit was speaking through. And these things were happening in microseconds. All of a sudden I'd see it. And then I'd find myself back. And then I'd be in another part and I'd find myself back. And I really believe the Lord was, while he was speaking to his children, that he was revealing to me the arena of the eternal realm and how things have been stripped from us and how we have lost sight who we are. And the enemy now is trying to strip back what's been restored to you and reconciled to you. Because if he can strip that away, you end up staying. So everybody got it? And I'm telling you, I when I left that room, I was, whoa. You know, did you ever, something happened to you and you couldn't figure it out till later? In other words, you just couldn't. It's like, whoa, in other words, I need help on this. But I realized that I was moving in multiple dimension of the eternal realm because I was watching this dude named Guy, and I was watching the Spirit plead through him to the Lord's lost children. And I thought, wow, that reconciliation, that restoration, why? Understanding more because I realize where I came from. Though I don't remember where I came from, it would be wonderful. I'd love to have that moment that just give me a glimpse of where, how, what happened. just a little speck of time, just something to see. But just what happened to me in that room gave me that glimpse of who we are and what's going on. But see, we get so caught up in structure and everything that we've got to come out of this. We've got to come to that place where we know who we really are. Why? See, if you don't know where you came from, oh, everybody, you can accept what Jesus did for you. Yay, reconciled me. I'm born again. Hallelujah. And I'm adopted in the kingdom. But where did you come from? Do you really know? Do you really grasp hold that you are from Him, the eternal? But it was stripped the moment we were conceived in the flesh. Now God is restoring it. But He Himself had to come as the Christ to rescue His lost sheep. Ezekiel 36. You know, we went to Israel, and I kept looking at Israel, and I kept sensing in my spirit, look beyond the land, look beyond, everywhere we went. I mean, it was awesome, powerful, to know where the Christ walked, but yet I don't acknowledge that anymore, because I'm not looking at the arena of the land, of the natural. Because everything's going to go, and it's going to be changed. But to see how God Himself went through such great arena to rescue His children, to reveal to them who He was. Come on, in the Old Testament, pillar of glory cloud by day and fire by night, and they still didn't know who they were. Grumbled and complained, lost sight, tried to set a standard for them to live by, but they still couldn't get it because they could not get born again. It wasn't available yet. It was a shadow of things to come. That's why when he died, he went to paradise. Went to hell, spoke to them, opened up paradise, and everybody went home. Ezekiel 36, verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. When I am what? Hallowed in you. In other words, when I am now acknowledged in you, when I now live in you. For I'll take from you, from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Now, we know this is three-dimensional. It's talking about the lost, all the lost. And it's talking about the Jews and Israel. And it's also talking about the place where He's going to bring us into our own land is the eternal Jerusalem. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, restoration. Reconciliation is the arena to the eternal. Restoration is to restore us to our original state of being. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was what? Lost. Angels behind and front, they're on behalf of the eternal to protect God's children, those who have been lost. Now we know he also speaks about little children, innocent children. But that's natural. I'm talking about things of eternal. That there are angels on our behalf, working on our behalf. But for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, which was stripped. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Can you imagine that? Come on, God Almighty took off his eternal presence. And said, I'm going. Because I want them back. They're mine. They've come from me. Those are my spirit. That's my spirits out there. That's mine. Every one of us carries a certain character of Christ. And he wants it back. And he said, listen, I'm going to have to go put on some flesh. But I'll be back. And I'm going to manufacture some blood and wash my kids' sin away. I'm going to go to hell and kick some butt. I'm going to leave my kids with the keys of the kingdom. Because they've been with me. But I sent them into the world. And though through conception of flesh they've been stripped of everything from me as their father, I'm going to restore them. That which was stripped, I'm going to restore. That which they've been taken, I'm going to reconcile them back to my home. Didn't Jesus say that? I go to a place and prepare for you, but I will come for you. In verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Came to serve, restore, and reconcile what was stripped away at conception. Hebrews chapter 1. Is everybody there in verse 1? Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Various ways. In various times he spoke. How many of y'all know he's still speaking? And he's speaking through dreams. He's speaking through visions. He's speaking through prophecy. And again, it is important to understand dreams. Because he's speaking. Because so many times we cannot comprehend what he's speaking. So he speaks to us through dreams. You know why? Because we get so busy in the carnal. We're so caught up in survival. Need to go to work, need to make a job, need to pay the bills. Need to go to work. Hello? Need to find a job. Need to make dinner, need to take kids to school, need to do this, need to do that. I'm telling you, there's a lot of needy. And what it does is it tries to distract us or tries to strip away from us what he's restored to us. Restored original state of being and reconciled eternal home. So he's speaking to us in various ways. It's like compact way of communication. He awaits our return home. He awaits our return home. In Psalm 23, everyone say, before I was. Psalm 23. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So we see here that he restores our soul, our original state of being. Even though we have been divided in spirit, soul, and body, we are now reconciled in spirit to the eternal realm. So at this point in time, because our soul is still associated with the things of this realm, it must be renewed. So it says he restores our soul. Go to Romans 12, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, your imagination. Romans chapter 12. Restoring it so it can cooperate with the original state of being of your spirit, which is born again. Not of the flesh, but of the spirit, restored to its original state of being and reconciled to its eternal home. In verse 2 it says, do not be conformed to this world. Hello. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to be transformed to the original state of being. Our soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it can cooperate with the born-again spirit. Transform the original state of being so we can focus and become more homebound. Hello? And become more homebound. In Ephesians 4. Because that's where we came from. Not Ephesians 4, okay? But we came from the eternal realm. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Do you ever get so frustrated that you want to come out of yourself? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you could, if you could find the zipper place, if I could just find it, I could zip out of here. You know? But it's hidden somewhere. So the only thing you can do is crucify this thing. Ephesians 4, verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not learned the eternal presence, power, and truth. The eternal place. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your former conduct. The old man, that which you were born with, that which when you were born, the moment you were conceived, you were stripped from everything of eternity. You were dying. Everything in this realm dies. Stripped. He said, but you've not learned that. You've not comprehended You've not comprehended the eternal. You've not look at you didn't listen. You haven't learned the Christ, the eternal presence and power and truth, the one who created you, who came in the natural realm. You've not learned him yet. You've not learned these ways yet. And the important thing is to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, which is trying to strip your eternity from you. And be renewed in the spirit. In the what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God, or restored to its original state of being, in true righteousness and holiness. Transformed to original state. Renewed to original state. Renewed in the spirit of the mind. In other words, I'm going to use a word here. Relearned. You've not relearned. In other words, it's not that you haven't learned. It's not you've really, you haven't relearned yet. Come on, don't you remember? Don't you remember? No, I don't. That's the problem. I know this is tough to comprehend. And our peanut brain has a hard time with it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. So because the enemy knew that we were stripped from all eternity while we were conceived of the flesh, he's been conforming us into his image and likeness and trying to keep us stripped from restoration of original state of being and reconciled to our eternal home. And he continues to do that in every way he can, because he now understands the power of agreement. Because what you agree upon is what you become. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47, it says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. What does it say? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now, wait a minute. Why are we the temple of the living God? Because we've been restored to our original state of being and reconciled to the eternal home. And what agreement is the temple of God with idiots or idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, what has he said? I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, so there's something that we have to do so we are not stripped from what has been restored. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So these are areas where he's saying, come on, don't be stripped again of what was been restored to you and reconciled. Don't be stripped from that again. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when the enemy comes to you in trials and tries to strip away your restoration and reconciliation. Just count it all joy because you know who you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter whether you even die here. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. In other words, everything's being restored. You're allowing your inheritance to flow. But you got to understand, so the enemy's still going to try and strip away the restored state of being and reconciliation to the eternal through things of the world, through the pollution of this world. That's why he says, don't touch unclean things, because you'll be stripped from your state of being. You'll be stripped from my presence. Come out from among them. Be separate. Be separate. Count it all joy. Don't count it all joy if you're touching sin. But count it all joy as you're being attacked and persecuted. Count it all joy as things aren't going your way. It just doesn't seem to be going my way. Praise God. You're not of that way anyways. You're of another way. You're not of your way. You're of Yahweh. Hello? The only reason why we struggle and fight and want to beat our heads against a wall is because we don't get it here. Once you've been born again, things are a little bit more difficult in this realm. Hello? They're a lot more difficult in this realm. It's like, man, it just don't make sense anymore. Hallelujah. That's all we didn't know. If it's God before me, who can be against me? That's all we didn't know. I can do all things through the anointing because I'm a part of it now. I've been born of the anointing. I live in the anointing. I'm from the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. I've been restored in my original state of being. Can't touch this. Hello? Psalm 103. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. You know, if you're dead to yourself, what can a devil do? He can't kill somebody that's already dead. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we be dust. As for man, his days are like grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, who reverence, respect, and honor him. And his righteousness to children's children's, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Rules what? Over all. Oh, come out from among them. Oh, go to Mark 10 for a minute. Mark chapter 10. Oh, count it all joy, will ya? Oh, die, will ya? Mark 10, verse 20-something. We'll start at verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we've left all and followed you, Lord. Jesus answered and said to him, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or jobs or money or fame for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, and houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution, and the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So he's saying, listen, I know there's this tradition, a family orientation, but do you not know that when you come home, you are like angels? You are to sustain certain things here, but your focus should always be on homebound, on the things above. Are you listening? See, this is where he is your life. If everybody has been established in the arena, restored in the born-again state of being, and reconciled to the eternal presence of God, and understands that, receives it, accepts it, then that's number one. Then you're homebound. If everybody is homebound, there wouldn't be so much garbage here. Families would be together better. Husband and wives would get along a lot better. If everybody was homebound, they'd be looking out for one another. Looking out in the area of protection. Being willing to receive because they'd have a humble spirit, being willing to receive correction because they're homebound. See, pride is not homebound. Pride is earthly bound. And pride will strip you from restoration and reconciliation. That's one of the things the enemy uses. Pride is an unclean thing. Leave mom, dad, and leave her. Man, just go. It doesn't mean you don't love them. God has placed them in our life, but our focus is homebound. Our focus is above. We can't change anyone. Only he can. But if people were more focused homebound, people would want to change because they see you. But they're really not seeing you. They're seeing the Christ in you, and they want to know how you changed. Oh, no, I just been restored. I've been reconciled. I'm homebound. You're earthly bound. That's why you got garbage all the time, and I got joy. That's why you struggle all the time. That's why you don't count it joy, because you've lost sight that you're to be homebound. And our focus is to bring as many home as we can, because we don't live long enough here. But he set a time. That time was set for me and you on this realm, so we didn't have to fight forever here. To go home is to be rescued. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17. We are sons of light, daughters of the Most High, restored in original state of being and reconciled the eternal presence of God, waiting for our glorified body. Oh, come soon. Luke 17 and verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees, they are always asking questions, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. No longer an outward culture, an inward culture. No longer is it an outward culture, it's an inward culture. And in this inward culture, because you have been restored to your original state of being inward and reconciled by to the eternal presence in Christ, the kingdom of God is not an outward It's an inward, because it's an inward culture now, not an outward culture. And until things change, it will become an outward culture. But right now, it's an inward culture. And it's expressed inwardly. Has everybody got it? With peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go to John 17, verse 20. John 17. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That pleading. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And that they also may be one in us. In other words, restored and reconciled. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. And that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Psalm 17, and we'll close here. He knew me before I was. Psalm 17 and verse 13. Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Cast him down. Kick his butt. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, the one that's trying to strip me from restoration and reconciliation. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, who do not want to be restored or reconciled. And whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness. Oh, powerful. Powerful. Protect me, Father, from those who try to strip away from that which was stripped from me and now restored to me. Lord, protect and grant me the wisdom from above that I may walk in the wisdom lacking nothing. I'm protecting those things that you've restored to me through inheritance, through presence, through visions, through dreams, through revelations, and through relationships, that I may walk in the eternal realm and be glorified with you all of our days. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, and be blessed, and know who you are. Amen.